caller ending in 2083. It is your turn to speak. Caller ending in 2083. It's your turn to speak.
Hi, this is Angelina Cook. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead.
Good morning. My name is Angelina Cook. I work with the California Sports Fishing Protection Alliance. I have been working to protect and restore ecosystems in Siskiyou County for almost 20 years. I agree with the commenters that suggest that dam removal presents far more promise than detriment to Klamath River communities if local leaders navigate this transitional phase effectively. I think that it's clear that the water quality impairments we're seeing are part of the ecosystem's recovery process. The Klamath River has been very sick for multiple decades, and many groups with direct interest in this river have persevered to achieve the greatest surgical procedure ever performed on a river in order to replenish the river, the natural health of the third largest salmon producing river in the contiguous United States. I understand that, I think that water quality concerns can be remedied through other measures than declaring an emergency proclamation. I think that the county seems, or a lot of the concerns in the county seem to discount the importance of salmon recovery. This Chinook and coho salmon are a keystone species, and we cannot allow the extinction to happen on our watch. If we do not successfully recover these species, it will present far more challenge to our economy and the well-being of our communities than the difficult stages that we're moving through as we witness the healing of the river. Obviously, I don't know how long it's going to take. I think 3 years, maybe minimum, to see actual salmon recovery occur. And I think healing the river will not be easy, but it is possible. And I just urge the board to navigate this moment in a way that doesn't create more confusion and polarization within the community and between agencies. This moment requires an unprecedented era of data access, community involvement, and diverse stakeholder cooperation to ensure that dam removal actually results in salmon recovery. Thank you for hearing my comments.
Anyone else online?
Showing no others online.
Anyone else in-house? Okay, before I bring it to the board, Ms. Nielsen and Mr. Shinoni, I guess a couple of things. One, what does this mean should we decide to act on this proclamation? What does it actually do?
So if the board were to approve this proclamation today, as it states in the proclamation, it would then be forwarded to the state of California requesting that the governor issue a state of emergency regarding Klamath River water quality and provide assistance to the county regarding that proclamation. And I can allow Mr. Shinoni to speak to additional details.
Brian Shinoni, Director of Emergency Services. I think the one thing that is misunderstood on that is there is no IA. I know the
IA.
I'm sorry, individual assistance.
Okay, thanks.
So the state of California does not issue IA. It does issue PA, which is public assistance, and that is for critical infrastructure or anything that's going to be concerning to the public. So individually, there is no funding. There is funding through FEMA, but the state would have to declare that state of emergency. We can declare locally, which will push up. And the one thing that I do want to, you know, I keep hearing the word hope. Oh, we hope that the river does this. We hope that hope is not a good plan. In my department, that isn't something that we do not even use that word, because the fact that what I care about is the overall health of what this looks long term. Don't care about the river. Don't care about whatever else is happening politically. What I do care about is that the folks that are affected by this in 10 years have clean drinking water and a clean bill of health. I think of this and I look at this as the same thing that we saw when our ex-president was handed a glass of water from Flint. That is the same thing that I'm thinking here, and that is a concern that we throughout the county, we see as the important part of it. So whatever that looks like to ensure that the folks that are affected by this have clean drinking water and a clean bill of health for the rest of their lives, that's important to me. Ultimately, if there was a incorporated city that had a concern with drinking water, we would declare a state of emergency. This area is unincorporated, so that's where we're at on that. So, barring any questions.
So, while you're still right there, with regard to the water that's being supplied to the wells that have gone dry up there, I understand tanks were provided and filled. Does that water go directly into the wells, or is it piped directly to the homes?
I'm not 100% sure on that.
Okay.
So I maybe have somebody else answer that question.
Okay.
And that's throughout the county.
Okay. Maybe that can be brought back, next week.
Absolutely. And Environmental Health can answer that question
much
more accurately than I can.
Okay. You, if I could answer real quick, you said something about the city, that this was a city you would declare an emergency?
If the city of, for example,
any state, just don't use a specific.
Yep, if they had a water issue that could not provide water to the constituents and it was deemed a concern across the board and impacted, we would declare a state of emergency. Again, no IA, but that would be PA because it's public infrastructure.
If the criteria warranted it.
Absolutely.
So, in other words, whatever the quality standard is, if it met it, it wouldn't be an emergency.
I'm sorry, say again.
Whatever the criteria would be to declare an emergency. So you just mentioned a city that you would declare an emergency, but it has to meet a criteria. Drinking water.
Incorporated state. City, yes.
Yeah. City water systems are tested all the time.
Yes. And I think that is our important part of it, is the testing needs to happen. And like we spoke about, and I've heard the board here speak about, not one spot, multiple spots, and moving forward, I think this is what
is required,
and that establishes that requirement.
Thank you. All right. I'm going to bring it back to the board. Supervisor Hout, do you want to start?
Sure. Thank you.
Oh, real quick, can I interject that there was some correspondence? I did believe that the board was all copied on this, but this is from Scott Harding. It has to do with River Outfitters. Elizabeth, you forwarded it to me.
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt, but I wanted to make sure that got in the record.
That's fine. Okay. You guys are help.
I was gathering my thoughts. I just lost them again.
You want to move on?
No, that's all right. That's all right. I've heard a lot today. A lot more on where the board was a year ago rather than where we are today. And from an emergency declaration standpoint, why do I think it's necessary? Because a lot of people are assuming a lot of things and putting words in my mouth today. Number one, I can't put the dance back. The genie's out of the bottle. And I said that when the decision was made, and we were largely ignored with the impacts that would ensue. And I said that going forward, my primary job at this point in representing the people along the river was to protect their health. and protect anything going forward for unforeseen circumstances that were maybe analyzed but maybe misjudged. And that's why I'm here today. For those who are couching this in, you know, it's just a political ploy, and we ought to be looking for the recovery of salmon. God, I hope we were walking on salmon here pretty soon. Because there's nothing more that would satisfy me and the irrigators in my valley and the agricultural industries in this county than not have to be under the constant threat of using a little bit of water that might diminish the ability for fish to survive. I told the ranchers in my valley 20 years ago, you don't want fish to become extinct. You want to be walking on salmon. And that would be my goal. Now, as far as short-term impact, you know, I've spoken to experts, PhDs that I know, in aquatic ecology. We can argue about the science all day long, and they're just opinions. Some have the opinion that the aquatic ecology will return in about 50 years. What do we do in the meantime? That's what we're looking at today. From my perspective, what this does is it elevates the county to a position of being able to get real-time information. I'm sick of having to get reports from FERC about what's occurring on the river and not being able to answer my constituents in real time about what they're observing. There ought to be an interactive communication between us and FERC and those carrying out this work so that we can adequately prepare the public for what is anticipated that they're going to see. That's not happening. My other reason for this is to answer the question that I've been after for better than 3 years. Who is accountable for this project? When something goes wrong, when there's an inspection not being met, when there's a goal not being met, who do we contact? Who do we work with? I don't know. You know, I get this from the state agencies, it's them. So part of what I want to do with a declaration is to get the state's agencies that are responsible for the human portion of this, and I'm not, you know, TRC's got a job, they have a permit, it's well outlined, and they meet the letter of what's in that permit. But that doesn't absolve the state from the rest of their responsibility that we've had to pick up. You know, we've had to do testing that the State Water Quality Control Board should be doing.
That's right.
There are also permit requirements to protect the human environment. That needs to be done by the state, including well testing.
Yep.
In real time. So that residents know when to stop drinking the water if it gets around. I don't know if it will or not, but then the state can't assume that it won't without testing. So I'm looking for relief from the county having to pay this drip, drip, drip of money to pick up the pieces to protect our citizens. And that's why I think this is really important. Like I said, we're not going to revisit the decision. That's not what this is about. This is about making state agencies be transparent and in real time interact with the government, the local government that's responsible for the protection of my citizens. Thank you.
In regards to this, it is a state role, the State Water Board, and asking them, requesting them to take on their role. One thing that wasn't mentioned is that the testing that has been shown exceeds beneficial use standards. So it's not just drinking water standards that we look at, but also beneficial use standards as well. And the test fortunately showed that there's exceedances to beneficial use. There was a comment made about the county finally taken an idea to advocate or to support the health of the Klamath River. And that comment is off the mark. This county did test algae blooms behind the dams back in 2010, I believe. And public health issued at that time that these blooms were not the hazardous to public health. So that was something that the county had done years ago. Did test the river, did look at it. And so there was a lot of publicity at the time. The county did review that and said it did not cause the public health concerns. The county also has asked frequently about the release of the hatchery fish prior to what happened recently, because the county was concerned about the health of those smolts and those fish being released. So this isn't, my supervisor on the other end said, this is not a new thing. We just decided to care about the river now. We've been caring about it for a long time. I don't want to rehash the whole debate over dam removal, the FERC decision, but I did want to clear up some misnomers that have stung the ag community in the Tule Basin for over the years, and something that may sting us if we do not respond to it now. Originally, the 2002 fish kill on the Klamath River was blamed on Tule agriculture receiving water and the Klamath Basin receiving water. The National Academy of Sciences made it clear that's not what the cause was. And then the North Coast Water Quality Control Board was here before the board in 2014. I specifically asked that question, and the representative said that the ag water was not the cause of the 2002 kill. And then the blame became the dams. The dams caused it. But in the congressional testimony given by the National Academy of Sciences, they said it was the natural conditions. There had been similar years on record prior where they had not been a fish kill, and if there had been a small precipitation of rain, it would not have happened. So I just wanted to get out ahead of that so we don't... it was wrong that it happened. It was bad that it happened, but we want to blame the right culprit, not just blame anything that we want to blame on it. So I'm in support in the county. Like I said, this is not new for us to advocate for water, for ag. The county advocated for the rotary screw traps a few years back, so we have accurate science. That was really moved by some colleagues there. So this is something we care about, and this is something we want, and the long-term impacts, all those factors. My voice, as you can tell, is giving out, and hopefully you guys hear me all right. I'm going to stop there.
Supervisor Valens, Raylan?
Sure. As the thoughts come across, you know, revisiting everything, you know, Supervisor Cox, if you recall, you and me have been at this the longest, and, you know, this is when I first started, was no and hell no, and, you know, I remember being eviscerated, supporting the KBRA and KHSA, and don't I wish we, if this was going to be done, that we would have done it back then, where would we be at this point in time, the 5-10 years down the road? I'm glad there's an acknowledgement that this is happening. The dams are not coming back. To me, the issues have always been, how do we mitigate, as a county, all the effects and the unintended consequences that we can't think of? You know, I wish we would have been at the table sooner. I wish we would have done things differently in certain aspects. But the fact of the matter is, I could deal with the cards that are dealt with me right now, right this moment. I am sympathetic beyond belief for the people that are suffering in their local. I've been up there, and I would remind you, my day job before I ever got elected to this position was to drive up to COPCO to do either a telephone repair, or repair a line, or do a locate, any and all that kind of stuff. I love the area. I would love to buy a cabin. I just sent my wife a text. I'd love to have a cabin up there somewhere. The fact of the matter is that, you know, for me, you know, what is an emergency declaration bias? I don't think it buys us anything at this moment in time. And the reason I say that is that we need more data. I don't think we can have one well test, one river test, without more data. I'm not saying that I'm not thinking about this down the line, because one of the things that comes to mind is air quality. I know one of the things I want to do right now, and I'm going to direct staff, can we get a temporary air monitoring up there right now, because we need baseline. What we don't have baseline for as well, and the quality, you know, the water quality and all that. Chelsea Murphy, our project manager, and oh, by the way, it was my suggestion to bring a project manager on, because we need someone to advocate for us on the other side, because we don't have capacity or staff. I know you folks up there know that, because we struggle. We don't have the money. And as Supervisor Kopp said, mentioned last meeting, We've spent a lot of resources to do this, to deal with this. And I, as a supervisor that is not in this watershed, have spent a lot of time being involved to the extent that I can. Again, I am sympathetic, but one of the things I want to do is see us move forward with TESL. I asked Chelsea Murphy, who's meeting with CWR today, to ask for them to pony up well TESL, because I'm more concerned about personal wells that are those quality of life, health, and all those kind of things. Less concerned with river water, because I do think it's self-correct, because if it didn't, we would see the effects right now. I do, unfortunately, I don't know how the weather has been up there, but we've had a lot of rain and snow in Mount Shasta, which is good. I wish we had more rain and snow up in the thing to flush the system out, because I think that's required. Again, well, you know, that's just what I hear on one side. I'm not smart enough to know one way or another. I appreciate someone taking out the testing thing, but we need to agree, all the parties, to where the sites are. Additional testing, I'm glad that the county is going to do at least four more testing, quarterly testing. I think, right, did I hear that?
Quarterly testing.
Yeah, I think KRC needs to be up front. I think the Crook Tribe is doing testing. So we need to ask if they're doing testing, and again, ask them to do it. Right? I mean, I think we all need to agree with the criteria. So this is, to me, is an ongoing thing. So at this moment in time, you know, I would ask that we delay this. Let's get through the next couple of months and get some baseline testing, get a water air quality up there. Because I do think at the end of the day, when all this is said and done, the people are going to be left up here, Siskiyou County is going to be left holding the bag with a lot of things that, again, unintended consequences.
Supervisor Oben.
Thank you. Mr. Shinoni, one question for you. If a declaration is declared, are there monetary thresholds in order to get funding? Is there some?
Yes, ma'am. So initial damage estimates is what we would have to submit. We don't have any of those as of right now, because the damages are going to be long lasting, if not unaccounted for. So we could test for wells. There is a threshold that we have to meet in order to be eligible for any other additional fundings, and that number is significantly high. But if you look at it, a fire, there's an FMAG that is accompanied in a state of emergency, which is usually a very high threshold, which is part of the fire response. So there is thresholds that we would have to meet for that, and IDs, initial damage estimates. I don't know what those thresholds are right now.
So the hope of funding is slim.
Yes. But not to Supervisor Health's point of having state agencies responsible for assisting.
Right.
So a state of emergency exceeds our local capacities, capabilities. And if water testing is exceeding our local capacity and our local capabilities, then that's something we can ask for as well.
Okay, so that kind of changes my perspective a little. I absolutely agree with making our point and making sure that all of our agencies and our governor understand that somebody needs to be accountable. And I've said that from day one about this. There needs to be accountability. The reporting has not been good. The accountability has been frustrating. Mm-hmm. But in order to do this, as well as with our fires and our other critical problems that we've had here, that's been our frustration with our declarations, is that sometimes we don't get the FMAG because we don't have enough damage, or we're not in a big enough group to be able to qualify. So we don't get the funding that we need to get the help we need. So with this, it's kind of the same situation. We want to do this, but it would sure be great if we got some money to help, because that's the frustration with us, is we're a poor county. We don't have enough money to be able to do all of the monitoring we want to do. We don't have enough money to lawyer up the way we would like to. We don't have enough money to do all of the water samples we want to do, and all of the other things to be able to help our constituents the way we do. So if we could get the funding, we would love to. So that's part of this equation that maybe we're not going to be able to. We want to make sure that we're up front with our constituents when we say we could get funding. We may not be able to get that. So that's just one aspect I wanted to bring to everybody's attention. That, yes, the state of emergency may be able to be declared, but the funding may not go with it. Just one more part of that. I'm a little bit on the fence on this. I absolutely believe that we need to move forward and not sit back. Dams are done. The ship has sailed. We absolutely need to move forward and look to the future. I do believe this is going to take a long time. I hope that this river will repair the way we have heard over and over again. This is going to take a long time, and yes, it's going to be ugly before it ever looks better. I do fear for air quality. I fear for water quality, and I would really hope that nobody's going to go drink out of that river. Can't imagine anybody would. Wells, we've seen already that there's problems. I worry about Collier Rest Area because we have a lot of folks that go through that rest area and use the facilities there, whether it's drinking water or toilets. And I do know that there was some issue there with the water. The water was turned off for a while because the water is used from the river, and there was some great concern there. So I still do have some questions about that, Brent. So there are some major problems that I do believe there is some work to be done. So if this is the way to make it happen and to bring it straight up the chain up through the state, then we need to make this happen. Because I think that's where the accountability, that's where the buck stops there. So thank you.
Thank you. So one follow-up for Mr. Shoshone. One thing I've been puzzled about is throughout all the multiple EISs and analyses that were done, diversions were looked at, but irrigation of pasture and these heavy metal effects on grazing animals and hay production. Now, granted, there's not a lot of it, but I do have some constituents down the river. Is there any way to test that, or because I'm concerned about food production and whether or not we're getting bioaccumulation in the cattle that's being produced downriver as well. I failed to bring that up the first time I was talking about that, but it is in the back of my mind as well.
One of the things that really does bring to light is looking at that as part of our community critical infrastructure. It is a food base. So one of those core capabilities that FEMA identifies is food and food production. It also identifies water and critical infrastructure. All of those three are under scrutiny and they're tested by this. As far as the cattle part of it, I feel like, if you look at me, I don't dress like that. I have no idea. So I think the Ag Commissioner would probably be a better push on that. I know what we need to do, who we need to talk to on that, but as far as me knowing that, I don't.
Okay. And one other thing that I think is important about any declaration is it has to be reviewed periodically. I'm insistent that I wanted it every 30 days, but I settled with staff on every 60 days, primarily so that we could put unforeseen circumstances into it as time played out, and particularly with air quality. The other thing I'm not sold on is whether or not the concentration of contaminants are going to diminish with increasing seems to be counter to all the hydrology coursework I've ever taken when it comes to pollution, that when you reduce the source of water coming in, it tends to concentrate contaminants, not reduce them.
Anything further?
No.
Anything further, Supervisor Chris?
No, I just bring up the irrigation. Irrigating out of the river, that water does flow over the ground and it percolates down. So I'll be concerned for groundwater recharge in those small domestic wells.
Rex Casalio.
I'm thinking more of Syed Valley and Walker Creek and places like that that use a considerable amount of irrigation.
Supervisor Hogan, anything for this?
Probably about.
Okay. So, I want to go back to, I think we heard earlier from Ms. Nielsen with regard to the KRRC, offering now to, and I'll say now, to do additional testing, as well as including heavy metals. That's something that we didn't have before this today, or before the release of this document went public. I'd like that to be able to happen. I think also that the state of California is looking at this dialogue that we're experiencing today and what we had last week, and I think what's going to come next week as well. I would like to have a bit more information with regard to, well, Mr. Shinoni said it, we don't have the financial aspect. That's obviously I don't know that we would meet that. But I think the goal here is to not be spending county resources where the state should be coming in and monitoring what we're already doing. And I think if we can reach out to the state, as we now with KRRC weighing in to State Water Resources, Regional Water Quality Board, that they may provide staffing to work together with our staff, KRRC staff, in with regard to doing the water quality monitoring, including the wells that supposedly aren't supposed to be affected, but we need to know something about that, because we've had people coming now that are paying for their own testing that are showing there's a concern. We need to be able to verify and check that out. But again, with the millions that the county has expended on this over the last 25, 24 years, we're at the point now where, you know, that's what we've asked for, is help, is to mitigate the unintended consequence or whatever the modeling didn't, include or I'll say forgot. We need the cooperation of the state to be able to come in and start doing what our people are asking. It's interesting, there was only one comment about the smoke, the 800 some odd thousand that died. There wasn't a cry for those salmon. I don't understand why, and I don't mean to make light of it, but the county, and this is something that has to come next week as well, with regard to, we've been asking for an MOU with Cal Fish and Wildlife for, I'll call it a no harm because of dam removal project on fish returns 3 years forward. Now, and that was prior to the smolts dying. That brings, a higher, level of scrutiny for me on how they're going to transport the remaining 3.5 million smolts that they're going to have go out. It's interesting enough that one of the commenters today knows that, or indicated, I should say, that they're going to truck those remaining fish, I think, from what I understand, beyond, what we'll call a threatening zone. Cal Fish and Wildlife should be here telling us that, and it's interesting enough that it's for the 17 years plus that I've been on this board. Trap and haul was something that we had asked for way back when, but we were denied that. The Klamath is the only river system in the West Coast that does not allow trap and haul. Now, saying that, yes, they're going to have to potentially truck those fish because that's the returning run 3 years hence from here. If we don't have that run, our fear has been that our irrigators are going to be the one under scrutiny for, you know, because there'll be a lot of memory loss in 3 years because of what happened recently. We need something that holds the water systems in the Shasta and the Scott and the project not accountable for a return that may not show up if there is a fish kill, a red kill, or a smoke kill of some kind. Now, again, I'm going to emphasize there's 3.5 million more fish that are going to come from the hatchery that hopefully will survive, and they will truck them or get them past wherever the danger zone may be so that we will have a return. I'm not discounting, you know, for the 17 years that I've been on the board, dam removal was supposed to cure the whole system. It was supposed to cure the regulatory effect on our irrigators, and yet, for all the good that it may bring, I hope that it relaxes that. But even yet, here today, I still hear that conflict, and that's a bit concerning for me because that should be going away because our residents are trying to work with what they have now. This board is trying to work with what we have now. And all we're asking is just make right what goes wrong with this because nobody asked for this. So I'm going to indicate that with approval of the board, I would like to move this emergency declaration to next week for our Klamath meeting. And I'd like staff to reach out to the state of California with regard to water monitoring and what they may be able to provide. If we can get things done, I'd far rather do that than and get it done quickly than raise the red flag and nothing happens. So I want to hear from, you know, the state water quality agencies that may be able to weigh in on this next week with regard to what they can step up to offset the costs of one to our county, but also provide a level of assurance to our residents that there's active monitoring going on so that our citizens can have some assurance that their voices are being heard. Because we're it, this board, no matter, you know, someone said, I think, you know, this is kind of a foolish action. But, you know, the bottom line is we represent the people who, at the very grassroots of what's available to them. And we're lifting up a concern that is occurring, and we need help with it. So, Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yeah, I apologize. I want to follow up. First of all, I don't think it's a foolish action. I think it's a cry for help. I mean, we need to keep the spotlight on what's happening.
I'm not calling it foolish.
No, no. Some people see that. I just want to reiterate, Sunday, of all things, I'm listening to the national news, and here's an article on the national news TV station. I'm sorry, I can't remember which one it was, but talking about the Klamath dams, and it was talking with the crew tribal member, Mark Branson with KRRC. I will tell you, outside of our world, there's a positive spin to this. And so, you know, if you're going to declare an emergency declaration, you're going to have your ducks in order. And so I think that, again, well, thank you for at least postponing it for a week. I would go till the first week in April because I think...
Oh, Jesus.
That's too long.
Could I have four, please?
Go ahead.
Because, you know, if you're going to declare something, it has to have some substance behind it to get some reaction. We, working always behind the scenes, trying to mitigate, trying to do things, we're up against it. And I'm telling you, this is... You know, I want to put our best face forward when it comes to this thing. I want to get something out of it. I would rather see us send a letter to CWR saying we need funding to test wells, because that to me is the ultimate. You know, these people are going to live there, still be there when everything's said and done. I do think the water quality in the river changes, but we're worried about toxins and all that stuff. I would ask you, well, you want them backed up in the dams? I mean, that's where they were. They were stored there. That can't be good. I'm not smart enough to know which way is, you know, up or down or right or left. I just know that we're dealt cards, and, you know, this county fought the dam process forever and a day. I'm glad it's behind us. Again, line us up with data. And I don't think one well test or one river test is enough to substantiate an emergency declaration. And I would also reiterate in that proclamation, there's nothing about air quality. That should be included in that.
One other thing, Ms. Nielsen, I think at the meeting that we had up in COPCO, I think the KRC and I think the state of California, but I'm not trying to put words in anybody's mouth, just for clarification, there was talk that the state of California was going to step up for the well issue that had been indicated even at that meeting. Is that correct?
There was indication of that, and we are asking that, we are asking that they speak to that at next week's special board meeting.
And then I also heard at that meeting that we're in, I'll call it, some form of dialogue with regard to the road issue on COPCO Road. Is that correct?
Yes, we are. Are you talking about the road failure at Milepost 13?
Yes. Well, and that system with the bridges that we've come to identify now that it's problematic and may need a complete
replacement. Yes, we're in coordination with the state regarding COPCO.
And that was indicated at that board meeting in COPCO as well, as I thought, but I may be wrong.
I will double check, and we will have a roads update next week as well.
And I would indicate that even though we're doing testing quarterly, I don't know. I think it should probably be done a little more often, even just the data that we would need for this future proclamation if we move it to next week. I know we're not going to get it done in a week, but I think rather than quarterly, if there's a possibility of doing that, bi-monthly might be a little more significant than that delay.
In Ms. Murphy's meeting with the state board today, she is seeking monthly testing.
Okay.
I'm sorry, by CWR, though.
Yeah.
But right. By the state water board.
Yeah. All right. So, board, I'm looking to you. I would just assume continue this to next week to get a little more data from what we've heard today from even OES, and see where the state would come in potentially and take over this monitoring so that our residents can have some assurance.
I think Liz, we had this conversation, I wanted to know where we are with wells. Have they increased, increased in far as failures, and where we are in any specific moment in time?
Since our last update to the board at the COPCO Community Center, we have not received any other reports or, but of course, the public is, please send those in if there are still issues.
Okay. And we received some lab reports, I think, last week, is that correct? Did we get copies of those from there? Two residents that had a bill, but I don't believe we got the results from those tests.
I'm not sure that we received the results from those tests. We were notified about the bills that they had to pay.
Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question I had, Mr. Shinoni, sorry I didn't ask you this ahead of time so you can look into it. I hope that the studies from the state with this that will have no impact on groundwater are true. But I like the saying, trust but verify. If this were a community water system, say City of Wairika, you just name it, there'd be a plan in place where we would test that water, serving those residents, those constituents. Since these are all private wells, I'm sure we're not the first one to face something like this. I'd be interested if you'd look into it. If you don't know now, that's fine. What the state requirements are, I'm sure the staff in other areas, we have to test private wells over a swath of land in the same watershed, and they operated that way. So those areas. I mean, if you lived in a city, you'd be blessed by the fact that the state could come in and test that one source coming in. But their plan, what they've done throughout the state of California when there's multiple wells and a plan in place. Like I said, I'm getting calls on this. There's lots of posts on social media as well for people just concerned about a domestic well. They've got kids or whatever. They just want to know that it's safe. So I'd like to know what the state standards are on that and what they do in different areas. And I'm sorry I didn't ask you ahead of time, so you'd be prepared for it now. So I trust, but I'm very concerned about that. And I think even if there isn't a model, maybe we form the model. And because we did the same thing when Bull's Heart came through, we formed the model there for that, not well water, but that issue. Because it has to be reviewed.
Absolutely. I'll move to look through that.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Cinnone, one last thing. Our emergency declaration, is it? Does it parallel other emergency declarations in the format that we do this? Some have indicated that this is not the same as what we normally do.
Well, that is correct, Supervisor. This has never been written before. This is untouched. However, it still flows and follows as a state of emergency.
Okay.
Very much so. That we've all gone through it. We've worked through this. Not my first one, so
I would only indicate that normally an emergency declaration goes through you and later comes to us for ratification. There isn't the dialogue really about when it's issued normally, is that correct?
Correct. If there was an incident that was emerging or evolving, there would be that conversation. I know we've had that conversation pertaining to the drought. However, this is an emerging, evolving situation.
Understood. And can you reach out to, I don't know if it'd be OES in the Condit Dam area off the Columbia with regard to air quality to see what's going on up there, what they're doing, since they kind of...
Someone alluded
to it. Yeah, that came up. I mean, Supervisor Valenzuela and I both were there, a couple of days after or a week after they had pulled the plug or blew it out up there. But I do know one of the things that happened up there with water quality, wells went dry 9 miles up from the facility, and Pacific Corps was required to put a municipal system into those residents.
Absolutely. I'll look into that. That is certainly something that would be beneficial.
Okay. Thank you. So, Supervisor Howell.
Sure. I can count to three, I guess. I'm assuming I'm the only one standing in opposition to it.
There's no opposition on the floor. I'm just asking.
Well, I'm just
continuing.
It's unfortunate that I don't know that I'm going to have any more data next week than I have today.
I don't know that we'll have the data. The only thing I'm asking for is for a reach out to the state of California and State Water Resources to weigh in on the ability to do water quality monitoring in place of us doing it.
So,
and that's why I'm holding off.
I understand that, Peach. My concern is this: as I listen to this, we focus now on water monitoring. That wasn't half of what I said with the declaration. As far as the net requirements, who's minding the hen house when it comes to that kind of thing, and where is the interactive work in a timely manner with the county and FERC, as well as the state agencies? We learned, because we called, of a decision to increase the time allowed for sediment disposal in the river, because the public picked that up, asked me about it. I went to Chelsea. She found out about it, that it was approved on Friday, and had just had a meeting with the contractors up there that Wednesday of that week. Certainly they knew that they had made that submittment, but never conveyed that to us. That's what I'm getting at. And that's not happening.
Yeah, I hope.
That's
comment. Ms. Nielsen, on, I'm trying to set it up for next week that we can get some answers to what Supervisor Haupt has just brought up.
Yes, we will ask the right parties to come and speak to that and hopefully provide those answers. And speaking to Supervisor Haupt's most recent comment about communication, that is a piece that we have consistently and continually expressed to KRRC is adequate and timely communication with the public and with the county as well.
Okay.
I'm just tired of the disrespect. More talk.
So, are we going to next week, or does the board want to take action today?
Well, someone can make a motion and see if or not.
I think we need it today.
I'm at the board level, sorry. So you'll have to.
I'll make a motion today.
Thank you, sir.
Recommended motion? The recommended motion.
I'm not here in a second. Let's continue this. Now what happens? If nothing happens, does this kill it? I want it back next week.
You can make a secondary motion.
So I would move that we bring this back next week with the information that we've requested from staff to give us a better idea of what the state's capability can do with regard to water monitoring, but also with regard to Supervisor Haupt's request for who's minding the store.
I second that.
Ready for vote?
Mm-hmm.
Supervisor Haupt?
No.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
No.
Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye.
And Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsev?
I'm an aye. And you see how close that just came to dying? I'd sure like to see this board at least at a 4-1 and a 5-0 on an emergency debt. So that's my opinion. Anyway, you need a break?
Yes.
We'll recess for 5.